Earplay is produced by National Public Radio and WHA under grants from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the National Endowment for the Arts. Earplay presents In Camera by Robert Pinger. Robert Pinger is a Los Angeles playwright who currently works on the staff of the Amundsen Theater. His first play, Don't Say My Alice, was produced at the University of California at Riverside and was directed by his then future wife, Ann Sherritt. His subsequent stage credits include Cortege, The Donner Party, and Women. He has researched and edited 11 film documentaries for the University of California and wrote the script for The Metro Story, a promotional television film narrated by Orson Welles. In Camera is Pinger's first commercial stage production in Los Angeles. It was originally produced on stage by the Center Theater Group Mark Taper Forum as part of its 1979 Playworks Festival. Earplay asked him to adapt it for radio. In Camera by Robert Pinger.
I told the doctor and the nurse that I planned to make a movie of my life. They smiled. They exchanged glances. They patted me on the hand, and they left me quietly alone. Nevertheless, I proceed with my plan to capture a single life on 8mm film. Not any life, hardly. A most important life. My life. I am 77 years old and feel as if I'm just beginning. And how rarely do we see beginnings for 77-year-old women? How rarely?
Alverna, I'm turning the damn thing off.
Howard!
It's bad enough that I'm stuck in this damn wheelchair. Bad enough that I'm stuck in this damned old age home, but I'll be damned if you'll stick me with that damn record again.
It puts me in the mood for my movie.
You play it one more time and you'll put me in the mood for the Nut House. Nothing personal.
They don't seem to like it either.
Who?
Nurse Coughlin and Dr. Schroeder.
Oh, those two, eh? Coughlin and Schroeder. You know what I call them? Coffin and Shroud. Not bad, eh? Coffin and Shroud.
Do you want a part in this movie or not?
I'm ruminating on it. What is it you're calling it again?
In Camera. It's Latin.
Oh, yes, that's it. In the Camera. Damn nonsense. What does it mean?
It means in the chamber of the judge. In secret.
It doesn't make any sense to me. Say, what time is it anyway? I'm misplaced for what?
Are you going to take a part?
Now, don't rush me. There's a right time for everything. I'm 84 years old, you know.
I know, so I'd like a decision soon.
Well, I'm thinking on it. Now then, have you got a love scene in this movie?
Ah, many love scenes.
Many love scenes? Not all in the same evening, I hope.
Oh, they're spread out over a lifetime.
A lifetime, eh? Well, I guess I could handle that. But I can't get out of my wheelchair. Now, you know that, don't you? I can't get out of my chair.
Now then, the first part you'll play is a dashing young officer triumphantly returning from Europe.
I myself wasn't in World War I. Served with Hudson, Whittaker, and Hudspeth, shipping brokers.
You're the handsome young lieutenant of 1919. You take me in your arms, and we dance.
What?
Now, imagine that I'm 19, a virgin, fresh and dressed in white. You have all the girls to choose from, but you choose me.
I can't get out of my chair.
The music starts.
Oh, not that again.
We'll look at each other from across the room, shyly, perhaps, but with soft smiles. You walk to me and bow gallantly and extend your hand. I take your hand. You take me in your arms, and we dance.
Howard!
You batty old hag, I can't get out of my wheelchair.
It's a movie, Howard.
I don't care if it's a second coming, I can't get out of my wheelchair.
Mr. Lowe!
Now you've done it. Nurse Coughlin's on to you.
Me? You're the one who's daft.
Mr. Lowell, are you all right? I could hear you all the way down the hall.
I'm fine, just fine. Not like some people. Say, have you got the time on you?
Miss McGuire, will you try?
No, I didn't lay a hand on him. We were rehearsing a scene from my movie.
That again.
But I didn't touch him this time.
Miss McGuire, you've been here less than a week, and we've already had several complaints.
If he says I touched him, he's lying.
I never said you touched me. You were trying to get me out of my wheelchair, though.
Miss McGuire, you are a very special case in this home.
Oh, my dear. I feel I'm a very special case wherever I am.
I think it would be best if both of you stayed here while I get Doctor. Please, I will only be a moment.
Go ahead. I haven't anything to hide.
Stay here, she says. As if I can go anyplace else.
Well, you could roll yourself into the television room.
What? And sit around with a bunch of dying zombies?
Good, you can stay here in the parlor with me.
I always find myself between the devil and a hard place. Did you give me the time? I can't find my watch.
Here. Take this.
What the hell is it?
It's the story of my life. It's the script of my movie.
Lord, it's a thick sum.
I've had a full life.
It's a movie?
Yes, of my life.
Where's your camera? You don't have a camera.
Details, Howard, mere details. Start going through the script.
Well, my eyes aren't what they used to be.
Oh, well, then I can tell you the story.
I can still read.
Good. In this scene, after the dance, you walk me home.
I can't dance. How many times do I have to tell you?
You walk me home.
I can't even walk. Can't you get it through your head? I'm stuck in this blasted chair.
Visualize the scene, Howard. Visualize.
I can visualize anything. I just can't do it.
You're not trying.
Oh, you sure are. Most trying woman I ever met.
My movie will be made.
What in the hell for?
Howard, please. Just look at the script. Now, this page right here. See? We're on the front porch. The young officer of 1919 is courting me. Visualize a warm summer evening. The scent of jasmine so strong you think you can pluck the petals right out of the air. You want to tell me about the war, but all the while I'm thinking, won't you take me in your arms?
Yeah, I got here, yeah. Then he says...
You say?
Then I say, in Flanders we saw the monsters. Monsters? This is a damn silly conversation.
Read the lines, Howard.
Doesn't make any sense.
Please. I'm very close to feeling it all again.
Oh. All right. I say, Does your father mind me being here?
It's late.
Yes. I mean, no. I mean, he's asleep. But he'd approve. You're a hero.
I see.
And you saw monsters in Flanders?
Why do I still think of the painful things when I'm here? And you're so beautiful.
Tell me about them, and maybe the pain will go away.
These monsters. Long ago they were men. Deserters, perhaps. Thousands of them. Between our lines and the German lines, they infest old trenches. And they live in the ground below us. When the shelling stops, they creep out and prey on the dead and wounded. Robbing them. Violating them. They scurry from corpse to corpse, fighting over the remnants. Night after night, we saw them, and I wanted so much to kill them. But we never could. So they wait there for us. Our monsters. Waiting. Still waiting. This isn't a very good war story.
Give me your hand.
So clean. So fragile.
If we touch, you'll forget the fear. There.
You're so delicate. So beautiful.
There. Touch me.
You're soft. So soft.
And there.
Miss McGuire.
Father!
Miss McGuire, it's Dr. Schroeder. Can you understand me?
Can you hear us?
What? Oh, yes. My mind must have wandered.
You were talking about breast touching?
She certainly was.
Was I? Well, I enjoyed it.
When I came in, you were in a trance. Do you realize that?
Howard and I were rehearsing a scene from my movie.
I see. Do you understand that other residents are beginning to complain about you?
You see, Howard will play the dashing young officer of 1919.
That's the breast-touching part?
Yes.
You're asking me to allow a disabled 84-year-old man to go around the home touching the breasts of a 77-year-old woman?
That doesn't sound half bad to me.
You aren't in a position to judge, Mr. Lowell.
I think it would be a little shocking to the other residents.
Yes, it would be shocking. A naive virgin on the threshold of her first seduction.
I'm not talking about your movie. I'm talking about you and Mr. Lowell.
Us. 84 and 77 years old.
Exactly.
Two broken-down relics daring to imitate the tenderness and passion of youth.
Oh, Lord.
Alvina, you're upsetting Mr. Lowell.
An old lady offering her breast to an even older, crippled man.
Oh, Lord.
Alvina!
And finally, the suggestion that these procrastinators of the grave could actually feel the electricity of life passing into each other's body.
Oh, God.
You're making Mr. Lowell sick.
Sick hell, she's turning me on.
Nurse.
Hey, Coffin. Hey, where are you taking me? Hey, roll me back. You prude. I feel the electricity of life. Coffin.
My. I think, Doctor, I can make a movie of my life.
I think, Miss McGuire, you should go to your room.
I thought I'd find you here. Still making movies today?
I don't think I handle that well.
Handle what?
Yesterday, with you and the doctor.
No, you sure didn't. Have you got the time on you?
It'll all be in the movie. The young soldier died, of course, in 1920. He was changing the tire on a truck when the jack slipped, and he was foolish enough to have his head beneath the vehicle. He promptly went west. It's important because I loved him. And we almost touched. Visualize it, Howard.
What for?
Visualize a meaning to your life.
My life? Well, maybe I got this all asked backwards. I thought we was talking about your life.
Today we rehearse my religious period, so don't be difficult.
I'm crippled. My eyes are going. My bowels are gone. I don't know the time of day. Can't get it. I'll be difficult if I want to be.
Howard, to be blunt, I am the artist. I am the guiding hand.
To be blunt, Alvina, without my help, you won't have a pile of dog turds.
You don't have to be that blunt, you old fool.
Old fool, you're a senile old maid. I'm only doing this to humor you.
Humor me? I'm giving you your big chance.
You're giving me a big pain in the ass.
Ah, I'll prove I can do it, you old goat.
Hey, where are you going off to? Go on, run off. I don't care.
Howard, could I have a word with you?
Shroud, where'd you sneak out from?
I didn't sneak from anywhere. You didn't hear me come in.
You got the time on you?
Howard, you must understand that Miss McGuire is a very special patient.
Misplaced Madame what?
And she's reached the time when she can no longer take physical or emotional risks.
What time is that?
Well, I think we all know when we've reached that time.
Shroud, I can never get the correct time around here. Did you know that?
How long have you felt this way, Howard?
I don't know. Misplaced my damn watch.
Howard,
when I was with Hudson, Whittaker, and Hudsbeth, I always knew the time. Always kept one eyeball on the old clock on the wall. Time can't sneak up on you when you watch it.
Do you understand about Miss McGuire?
Spoiled old brat.
Only ill. She's been entrusted here, on a trial basis, from a state hospital.
Did time in the slammer, did she?
Mm-hmm. And our job, and you can help, is to keep her fantasies under control.
You're saying she's crazy?
Well, ill, Howard.
You say her mainspring has sprung.
We say ill.
I say nuts. Shroud, you may be the doctor, but I'm 84, and I can tell you about Alvina. She's...
Repent, sinners! Lay your sins at the feet of the Lord. All praise to Jesus Christ.
She's crazy.
Miss McGuire.
Heed the word.
Embrace the Lord and your bodies will be healed.
Miss McGuire, I must insist that
you're crazy.
Oh, ye of little faith, Howard. The time of the Lord is drawing near.
What the hell time is that?
Rise out of your wheelchair. Rise, Howard. Walk. Walk to Jesus.
Walk to Jesus? I can't even walk to the job.
Miss McGuire.
Not now, Brother Schroeder. I'm touching my people. The people I love in Christ.
You're slipping into one of your states.
Can you hear my music? Can you hear it? You who seek to be touched, now is the time to step forward. Let them come unto me to touch, to love, to heal. Let them come. Let them come.
Sister Elvina, can you see me down here?
Yes, brother.
We're all alone now, sister. That was some sermon, though. He had loads of people hobbling down these aisles. We all figured you'd cure us. Didn't work out too well for anybody, did it?
Sometimes the spirit doesn't act.
Ain't that the truth? All those good folks have gone home. And ain't they as sick and crippled as ever? Ain't they?
Why do you have that gun?
Don't call it a gun, ma'am. It's a pistol. A Hun pistol. It's a souvenir from Europe. Just like this bad leg of mine is a souvenir.
Why do you have a pistol?
Oh, that's better, ma'am. I keep this Hun pistol so folks and me, we always got something to talk about.
I knew a soldier once.
But tonight this pistol's here for you, Sister Elvina. Tonight, you are going to die.
Praise Jesus!
Praise Jesus! Well, don't you want another crack at curing me? Don't you want to reach out and make me a whole man? Huh?
My soldier was a young officer. He died.
He was lucky.
His death gave me a vision of life.
Are those your last words, sister?
No, I want my last words to be about the cure, the vision. Can't you see it?
I'm going to kill you.
Stretch out your hands and clutch to life.
Stretch out your hands.
Live! That's everything I know.
Clutch to your life.
Live!
Miss McGuire, are you awake now?
What? Oh, my. Oh, I must have dozed off.
You were in one of your states again.
My what?
States. You were hallucinating.
Hallucinating? No, I was rehearsing.
We had to give you a sedative.
A Mickey Finn, you mean?
A sedative. If you're feeling strong enough, Doctor would like to talk to you.
I want to talk to him, too.
We are very upset about the gun.
Pistol. It's a necessary prop.
We don't know how you smuggled a gun into the home.
Mail order. What's so mysterious about that?
Well, Doctor is very upset.
Well, the poor fellow shoots at me, but he misses. Still, it convinced me to get out of the revival business. I had the right ideas, but not the faintest notion of what to do with them. Do you see why my movie is so important?
That's what Doctor wants to talk to you about.
Do you think Howard could take the part?
Mr. Lowell can't walk.
Details, mere details.
More residents have complained about you, and now this gun business.
The scene requires a pistol.
It's an impossible idea. You're not even an actress.
Read the script. I was an actress. I took the natural progression from God to show business.
Miss McGuire, are we feeling better today?
We are feeling splendid, thank you.
I'll just...
Nurse, please stay.
She doesn't believe I was an actress.
Miss McGuire, most of the time you are quite reasonable and rational.
Quite.
So let me ask you, what would you think if another resident had smuggled a gun into the home?
Another resident didn't. I did.
That's the point.
The point is what I envision. What I am.
What you are is a woman entrusted to our care from a state institution. And we want to take good care of you. But the other residents aren't particularly fond of you being here at all.
I've noticed that. Casting my movie is becoming a problem.
Your movie is just what we had to deal with.
Have you read the script?
Parts of it.
What did you think?
Well, it's impossible.
Yes, I've heard that already. But what do you think of the script?
It's fragmented, unfinished.
Exactly. Like me. Fragmented, unfinished, and alive.
We don't question your being alive.
Oh, but you do. You do.
I am trying to do two things. I want to keep you as healthy as possible, and I want to keep you here.
Then take a part in my movie. I need a whole batch of young men. I can visualize a part for you.
To stay in the home, you must stay with reality.
It's a good part. Robert Browning in the barracks of Wimpole Street. I play Elizabeth Barrett. I was triumphant.
There can be no more guns and no more harassing the other patients.
Listen to this.
Miss McGuire.
We used it as an introduction. The play closed on Broadway in 1931. But the road companies, especially my road company, played for years. The part's yours, Doctor. You are Robert Browning. Now make it come alive.
Miss McGuire. If you could see yourself as others see you, you'd know that you slip into periods of total hallucination.
Me?
And it hurts us to see it, especially because I think you could control yourself if you wanted to.
I think so, too.
It also hurts us to have to give you sedatives. Now, I don't want to do that again.
That's fine with me.
But our greatest hurt is that you don't seem to want to help us keep you here. I like you, and I don't want to send you away.
I don't want to go away.
Good. So now we're going to try you on some new medication.
Aha!
Alvina, we need your cooperation.
You're very important. But I have other patients, too, and I cannot give you all my time.
Thank goodness.
Well, the nurse will give you the medicine, and we'll give it a try. Alvina, if you help, we can lick this thing together. That's enough for today. I'll drop in on you again tomorrow, and we'll talk.
Good riddance to bad rubbish. Men are such idiots at times.
Not Doctor.
Him and Howard, too.
Mr. Lowell is very fond of you.
Of course he is.
You know it?
It's all in the script. Read the script, Coffin.
That's not my name. Now take these pills.
Wait a second. I apologize. Nurse Coffin, you must have a first name. Is it Mary?
No.
Am I warm? Margaret? Jane? Linda?
No, it's Patricia.
Ah, Patricia. Am I being less the crazy old crow now, Patricia?
You're being very good, but you still have to take these.
One moment. While I'm being very good, tell me why my movie is so bad.
Alvina, it upsets the other residents.
Everything upsets
them. And people your age do not go around making movies.
What makes you say that? Never mind. I'll bet you've never heard of the Barretts of Wimpole Street.
I have. It's a play by Rudolph Bessier.
That's very good. You saw it once, perhaps?
Actually, I performed in it.
Really, dear?
Well, it was the only time I ever did anything like that.
What part did you play?
I was Wilson.
Wilson. The faithful maid, of course. Perfect.
It was only a high school production.
Oh, it matters not. You acted. You tried to reach out and touch people.
It was an all-girls high school Catholic. It couldn't have been any good. I mean, girls had all the parts. In fact, it stunk.
So did mine. My leading man was a drunk, our company manager was a thief, and the dog in the production developed distemper. We had to shoot it.
Oh,
it matters now, Patricia. You were on the stage.
But it was terrible. Sister Marie told us that she'd get boys, but she didn't.
Mine was worse than terrible. We gave a different version of the play every night.
I was especially terrible. I forgot half my lines.
And so did I. I was worse at acting than I was at religion. Yet we were doing it. We could do it again.
The Barretts of Wimpole Street?
My movie.
That again.
Join me. Take a role. Take several roles.
I couldn't.
It's not all fun. There's hard work and heartache.
Doctor wouldn't approve. Not at all.
Listen. Can you hear music? It's our introduction.
You're slipping off again, Alvina.
Slip off with me, Patricia.
You're not Elizabeth Barrett.
Nor am I Sister Marie or anyone else. I am Alvina, alone.
But you're not alone.
Then give your line, Wilson.
I'll fetch my cloak and bonnet at once, miss.
I am quite ready.
Yes, miss.
And now slip downstairs and see whether the study door is shut.
Yes, miss. The door's shut and all's quiet. Very well. And now I gracefully exit. Alvina. Alvina! Your medicine! Alvina!
Well, now, how are you today?
Just ducky, thank you.
Didn't Coffin and Shroud have a little chat with you yesterday?
Yes, we chatted.
And I hope they told you you're making a first-class ass out of yourself. A movie. Bah. Foolishness. Don't expect any help from me. I quit.
You who can still feel the electricity of life?
That was a weak moment. Had prostate trouble for years. Couldn't help you in that department if I wanted to.
Very well, you can quit on me.
A movie. Who wants a movie about a bunch of old folks ready to die?
Who's ready to die? You?
Me? Oh, I'm not talking about me.
Close to death isn't the same as ready to die.
Bah. You got the time on you?
Remember when time was so precious that each day something had to be accomplished? Each drink had to be intoxicating. Every kiss had to be consummated. Do you remember, Howard?
I don't remember anything of the kind.
All our moments had to brim with joy because death could touch so quickly.
Death? Shroud?
Don't call them in.
Well, then don't get so damn melodramatic.
It's all in the script.
Screw the script.
What do you need, Mr. Lowell?
What the hell time is it?
Almost time for our nap.
Almost time for our nap? I'm surrounded by lunatics and damn fools.
Mr. Lowell has resigned from the cast.
Some actress. She's a Looney Tune.
But she was an actress. It's in her records.
What? Oh, I don't have time for this dribble.
My records say that? They say that?
I wasn't aware before, but...
Keep an eye on her, Coffin. She is getting hysterical.
Mr. Lowell!
Oh, let him go. It actually says that in my records?
It doesn't mean that the doctor will let you continue. Too many people have objected.
Oh, I've faced objections all my life. It hasn't stopped me from reaching out. It won't stop me from making my movie.
But it's not something you can do alone.
No, I've been alone before. But that's not our concern now. Before you came in, I was telling Howard about World War II. Listen, it was the grandest of music. I was 43 years old at the time. But a war was on, so all of us danced. I'd met this young man, a sailor. He could sparkle like a star. I'd ask him to my apartment. I wanted him, you see. Not shocked, are you? I was a woman of 43, but attractive. He was just a boy. But in those days, we all fought the war.
Say, you got a real nice place here.
How about a scotch?
Scotch? Why not? Sure. Yeah. Real nice place.
How would you like it?
Huh? How you having yours?
With a splash.
Sounds fine. I'll take that. Why not?
How long are you going to be in town?
Till tomorrow. We got to report in at midnight. Funny time, midnight.
Mm-hmm. Well, sit down. Make yourself comfortable.
Sure. Why not?
You're a swell dancer.
Oh, back home we cut a rug. When I get home again, I'm getting right back in the groove.
Certainly, just like before.
Right.
Have a drink.
Well, this may sound funny, but I've never had scotch before.
Oh, you want some more?
No, this'll do.
I'm worried about you, sailor.
Me? What for?
The war.
Oh. Well, I can handle myself.
Have you ever made love to a woman?
What?
Have you?
Hey, that's a heck of a thing to ask a guy.
I apologize. But the war frightens me. To die without having lived, that frightens me.
Who's going to die? You can't think that way.
Would you make love to me, sailor?
Tonight?
Yes, tonight.
Tonight?
Yes.
Sure. Why not?
That would ease my fear.
Sure.
Let me freshen your drink.
Sure, why not? You don't have to worry about me. My mother worries. God, she worries. I wanted to go into the Marines, but my mother wouldn't let me.
Oh, the Marines are very dangerous.
That's what my mother said.
You're better off in the Navy.
That's what my mother said.
I'll freshen your drink.
Well, actually, it tastes kind of funny.
Oh, well, maybe you'd like something else.
No, I'm fine.
I don't mean to drink.
Oh, look, maybe I shouldn't be here. I mean, you're a very nice lady, but
I want you here. I'm worried about you.
You don't have to worry about
me. There's so little time.
I got all the time in the world, right? I got till midnight tomorrow.
Please, don't go.
Hey, you've been very nice to me,
then stay with me. Please.
But you worry too much. I can handle myself.
Then stay with me.
Lady, thanks, but just don't worry. I got my whole life in front of me.
You haven't even begun.
Thanks, but I gotta go.
Sailor.
Thank you, but...
Sailor. Sailor. He left just like that. That boy could sparkle like a star.
Oh, I know you're talking about Mr. Lowell.
Oh, Doctor, I didn't hear you. Well, Alvina was... She was...
We were rehearsing a scene from the movie.
I see.
I was thinking, Doctor, if perhaps we could allow Alvina to... Well, continue. Perhaps I...
Miss Coughlin, don't you have rounds to make?
I think I could help her.
Nurse, your rounds?
Yes. Of course, Doctor. My rounds.
Thank you, Patricia. Don't be discouraged, dear. I've been alone before.
Alvina, you're making it very difficult for me. Do you understand that?
I thought you wanted to help me.
I do. And the best way to help you is to keep you here.
Good. Keep me here.
For that, I need your help.
You want me to take up knitting, is that it?
Think of it this way. If you do well here, other people from the state hospitals could be sent here. Wouldn't they be better off in a home like this one?
I haven't complained, have I?
No, but almost everyone else has. It's all this silly notion of a movie. If you would just put it aside, everybody would view that as a great improvement.
No, I think I put it aside too long as it is.
I've tried to be gentle.
I understand your threats.
I won't send you back if you will just give in a little. Do you want to be sent back?
No.
Then we agree.
I don't know what we're agreeing to.
I don't know how to be more clear. No movie. No more talk about it. No more make-believe. You think about it now. And I'll bet tomorrow you'll want to cooperate. Good night, Alvina.
Doctor? Doctor?
I don't know what became of that sailor who could sparkle like a star. If I could have touched him lightly, we might not have been so frightened. We might not have been so frightened.
Alvina? Alvina, are you in here? Now, I won't turn on the light. I won't tip him off. It's a hell of an hour to be out playing hide-and-seek, though. They've turned the damn place upside down for you. Damn it, where are you? All right, stay in hiding. I still won't be in your damn movie. I'm not some loosey-goosey movie star. I was a businessman, and I've got my dignity. 45 years with Hudson, Whittaker, and Hudspeth. Where are you hiding? No, I won't be in your movie. I haven't the time. Where in the hell is my watch? Damn. Damn fine watch from Hudson, Whittaker, and Hudspeth. On the back it says, to Howard Lowell for 45 years of on-time service. On time, all the time. HWH, 1913-1958. Damn thing. Misplaced it somewhere. A good watch will stay on time forever. Forever. Alvina, do you know how late it is?
Mr. Lowell.
Oh, go away, Coughlin.
You should be in bed.
You should be in bed. Why the hell are you after me when there's a maniac old woman on the loose?
We found Alvina.
What? Well, I'll be damned.
Please, Howard, Doctor wants to use this room.
Bring him in. I can straighten this mess out as well as Shroud can.
Howard!
I used to walk with you along the avenue. Our hearts were carefree and gay.
Good God, she's stinko.
Howard, go to your room, please.
And miss the fun?
Right now, you're leaving.
Oh, Shroud.
Now.
Well, it is late, I suppose. If I could find my damn watch, I could tell you that. Of course, if you need my help...
Good night, Howard.
Yes, well, good night, I suppose.
Nurse, please show Mr. Lowell to his room.
Doctor, I thought you might need help.
Now, please?
Yes, Doctor, if you say so.
All right. Why?
Why what?
Why the hiding?
I wasn't hiding. You just couldn't find me.
Very soon you need to decide if you're going to behave or not.
We're not children here.
Oh, hiding in the middle of the night. That seems rather childish.
I was doing some thinking.
You knew you'd alarm us. If it wasn't a childish prank, was it a sign that you don't want to be here?
I have nowhere else to go.
Oh.
You intend to send me back? Do you know what a dreadful place the state hospital is, Doctor? They lock all the doors. And the linens are soiled. The linens all have large yellow stains on them. Did you know that?
I know.
Not pretty, Doctor. Not a place I'd quickly return to. Not a place you'd quickly send me.
I'm the one trying to get people out of there. You're the one refusing to help me.
You don't need my help to line your pockets.
Oh, I see your thinking now. Well, let me tell you about someone.
Why? More therapy?
Listen to it. You might learn something. Not long ago, a woman was brought here. A woman very like yourself. She was bright, charming, full of life. I liked her. Physically, she was in very good shape. She was lovely. Except for one little thing. She was extremely fond of birds. And at times, she thought that she was a bird. A robin. Well, she seemed happy and harmless. We even sometimes encouraged her. Because when she talked about soaring in the clouds, it seemed optimistic and gentle, and it made her very happy. We let her roam where she pleased and do what she wanted. Then one day, this sweet, harmless lady, whom we all loved, climbed to the top of our building, and I saw her perched on a ledge there, and then she flew away. Only she didn't fly. She wasn't a robin. She was a nice old lady, like you, entrusted to my care.
That's a sad story.
Yes, it is.
Generally, I prefer happier stories.
Oh, so do I.
I don't want to fly. I only want to live.
Alvina, you are on trial, and the home is on trial, and I will not let the home fail.
So what do I do?
Do you want a chance to explain yourself or not?
Well, I wasn't actually hiding, Doctor. I was doing my thinking.
About your movie?
No. I was thinking that you remind me of the man I almost married. Interested?
I'll listen.
It was shortly before Eisenhower's re-election, and my thoughts turned to marriage. I was 55 at the time. Perhaps a bit late to think of marriage, but nothing much else was happening. My fiancé was younger, 47, or 49. How old are you, Doctor?
I'm 38.
38? Well, perhaps poor George was 38 then, too. Poor George had been married 4 times, and he was a poet. Of course, I'd never been married, but he'd done it a lot and seemed to like it. And he was a terrible poet. Oh, just dreadful. So I thought marriage would be a very good idea.
You loved him?
Poor George needed me. No one else knew just how wretched a poet he was. And poor George drank a bit more than he should have. He made the most extraordinary efforts to hide his bottles from himself. Still, George was a drunk.
Alvina, I'm not seeing the point of all this.
Yes, well, I'll get to that. I'll get to it. Let me read you something. It's brief, sort of. It's a poem of poor George's. Now, you must keep in mind that it was written in 1955. You see,
Oh, poor George was a great fan of Nat King Cole. He loved the sound of that man's name. Anyway, this is the poem. Now, there, it's entitled Nat King Cole by Poor George. Nat King Cole. 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 It goes on like that for 12 more stanzas.
Oh, I'm sure it does.
Well, it was 1955. Still, very early on, I sensed that poor George's calling wasn't as a poet. Just as your calling isn't as a doctor.
Your faith in me is not really the issue, Albina.
Oh, I have faith in you. It's your calling I have no faith in. I had great faith in poor George, too. Listen. Oh, this is good background music.
Don't do this to yourself.
He only played this when he was drunk. Constantly. It was playing when I proposed to him.
Alvina.
Marriage is nothing. To touch a wretched poet, that's to be in love.
Why are you hanging on to this?
It's in the script.
Then let go of it.
Well, George only wanted to drink and write poetry. You could play the role.
You are going to lose.
He couldn't understand either. I loved his stupid poems. I could say to you, write your poems, darling George, on my neck and thighs and breasts. Write them.
If you persist, you will be back where they lock the doors and the linens are soiled. George is gone.
Certainly he's gone. Poor George flatly refused to marry me and went on a 10-year bender in Venice, California. Yes, poor George is gone, Doctor. And the 50s are gone, too. Yet I'm still here. And the world is still full of wretched poets.
Alvina, you are too old for this.
That's what poor George said.
Somewhere along the way.
Coffin, come here a minute.
Yes?
Look out on the yard over there and tell me what you see.
Is that Alvina? What is that over her head?
Looks like a paper bag to me.
Oh, no, it is.
Last couple of days, she's almost been tolerable. Has she said anything to you lately about her movie?
Not a word.
Me neither. Oh, Lord, she's coming in here. I think her crystal's cracked this time, Coffin.
We've got to get that off her head before Dr. Caesar.
No, I can handle this.
Howard, don't be harsh.
I am never harsh. Alvina?
Leave me alone. I'm too old.
I'm ashamed of you. Ashamed.
Howard, you don't mean that.
I won't be laughed
at. No one's laughing at you.
When she acts like this, I get laughed at.
Alvina, would you please take that bag off your head? Doctor is going to be very angry with you if he sees it.
But take that damn thing off. You're giving me the creeps.
Is this part of your movie? I'm trying to help you.
I thought that movie stuff was finished.
You don't have to go into that.
No? Then tell me, Coffin, why is this woman standing here with a bag over her head?
I'm old.
See that, Coffin? That makes sense. I'm older than she is. Maybe I ought to stick my head in a damned oven.
George? Poor George? Is that you?
George? Who the hell is George?
I don't know. I'm frightened, Howard. If Doctor sees her like this...
So...
I'm getting her a sedative. Stay here and keep her from doctor, please.
Well, wait a minute. Now, I'm not going to help this fruitcake.
Please, Howard.
When did you jump into bed with her?
We can at least keep her with us, please.
You hear that, Alvina? Keep you here. That's a big treat. Will you take that thing off your head?
No, I'm too old.
My Aunt Bessie's Fanny. I'm older than you are.
Then what good are you?
Bah. Who's George, anyway?
When he died, I felt how old and worthless the world is. I was old, and poor George was oldest of all.
Well, now, it sounds to me like maybe you're just a little down in the dumps.
Old is alone.
Now, knock it off. You're giving me the heebie-jeebies.
In 1965, I put a plain brown paper bag over my head, and they locked me into a state hospital.
Well, I'd lock you up sure as hell.
You're right. I should have been put away, but not because of this bag. Here, take it.
You're damn right I'll take it.
They should have locked me up because I felt too old to care.
Crazy.
I knew it was insane, but I didn't know why. Why did getting old make me put a bag over my head?
Beats me.
I kept it on from 1965 to 1972. Then my movie occurred to me.
You're still crazy because they aren't going to let you do that movie.
It will touch people. What I am, what I do, is touch people. It's been my secret to the world. In camera.
You know something? With or without the bag, you don't make much sense.
When were you last in love, Howard?
I don't get any ideas. I'm only keeping an eye on you till Coffin gets back.
Was it some secretary at Hudson, Whitaker, and whatever?
Hudspeth. No, it wasn't.
Maybe it was with the boss's wife.
That's disgusting.
Maybe it wasn't a woman at all.
Wait a second, lady. I was happily married for 52 years.
Was she as pretty as me?
She's dead. Leave it alone.
Perhaps in your own way, you were a great lover.
I don't want you to talk about her. You couldn't hold a candle to her. 52 years with me, don't you talk about love to me, you and your Georges. She was... I won't even talk about it with you. You stay married 52 years is not all roses and champagne, I'll tell you that. We had our go-rounds. That woman had no concept of time. Can you imagine that? Time. She didn't know the meaning of the word. She never did things at the right time. Even dying, damn her. Damn her. I don't want you to talk about her ever again. She was not supposed to go before me. If you don't believe me, ask any insurance agent. She was not supposed to go. World's full of old widows. They can get together and cackle all afternoon, happy as hell. It's different for a man. Old men don't have anyone to be with. Bad, bad timing all her life, even when she went. The night before, the exact night before, she came to me and all perfumed and powdered. This sick, old, dying woman, she smelled like a fresh flower. She was wearing a frilly little pink negligee. She came to my bed and she laid down beside me, embraced me, kissed me. Warmer, more tender, more exciting than I'd ever known. We made love. I mean love. Oh, I wanted her so much. Yet we lingered. We touched. I had all the power in the world and she had all the softness and beauty. We gave that to each other. What we gave to each other, it was the best night, the very best of my life. She knew. She must have known because the next day she was gone, just like that. Damn her. Damn her.
Howard, would you dance with me?
Thank goodness you've got that bag off.
I'm putting it back on. Look at me, Howard.
Take it off, Alvina.
Howard can take it off.
He can't reach you now. I'm going to give you this sedative.
He'll do it for me.
I haven't the time for you.
I feel the electricity of life.
Give her the shot.
Stand up. Slip it off my head. Like slipping off a negligee.
I'm going to give you this.
I don't need it.
I want to help.
With that needle?
Look at yourself.
Howard,
give her the shot.
Maybe a shot would help.
Albina, give that back to me.
Calm yourself, Patricia.
What's she going to do with that damn needle?
Let's not get excited.
Grab her, Coffin.
Albina, you're being silly.
Silly? She's going to stab me to death.
Out of the wheelchair, Buster.
Albina, put it down.
Rise, Howard. It's dance or death.
Coffin, do something.
Albina, give me that.
What is the meaning of this?
Oh, Doctor. This would make quite a scene. We could all play ourselves.
Very gently, hand that syringe to the nurse. That's fine. Good. Oh, Vina.
I know. I've done it this time, haven't I?
Yes, I'm afraid you have.
Well, now, getting all packed, eh? That's all for the best, I suppose. Hell, Albina. I'm willing to let bygones be bygones. Want to shake? All right, don't shake. I've got my dignity. Still, I don't want you to go away mad at me. I might even go so far as to say I might miss you a little.
I'm not mad at you.
Not there. That wasn't hard to say. And I'm not mad at you either. What happened yesterday, well, maybe you weren't going to kill me with that needle.
Actually, I was.
Oh?
But I wasn't mad at you.
Oh. Where you're going, I don't suppose they'll let you make your movie. Not that you had much luck here.
I don't think they'll want me to, no.
That's all for the best. A crazy notion right from the start. The time isn't right for that sort of thing.
For some people, the time is never right.
You should have done it when you were younger.
No, you're wrong.
It's a shame you never got to see my watch. You know, I had it here only the other day. A very fine watch.
Howard, I've thought about it. I'm going to give you one last chance.
For what?
To dance. To dance with me.
Oh, gee.
Now, in a moment, the doctor and nurse are coming in for me. When they do, I'll put this record on. See? Now, you'll look at me from across the room, from over there. We'll look at each other a moment, shyly, perhaps, but with soft smiles. Then you'll stand and walk to me and bow gallantly and extend your hand. I take your hand, you take me in your arms, and we'll dance.
I'm over here, and you're over there.
Yes.
Then I get up out of this chair, which I haven't done in 12 years, and walk over to you. Then we go waltzing around the room.
You've got it, Howard. Perfect.
You are totally nuts.
You can do it for me.
Why don't you dance with your soldiers or sailors? Or get George to dance with you, whoever the hell he is.
Because they're all too old.
Too old? I'm 84.
They're dead, Howard. That's when people get too old.
Alvina, are you ready to go now?
Ah, good. My doctor and my nurse. I have something for you to witness. This will only take a moment.
Alvina,
please,
if you are...
Doctor, I'll be leaving shortly. Patricia, would you move Howard over there?
Go ahead, Coffin. I'd like to see this myself.
No, over a bit. Yes, there. Patricia, you stand back over here. That's it. All right. Now, Howard, please, come dance with me.
Oh, Alvina.
Let her alone. She's getting on in years.
Please, Howard.
Miss Coughlin, please go see if the car has arrived for Miss McGuire.
Alvina, I tried.
Yes, dear. Goodbye, Patricia.
Goodbye.
Howard, why don't you join the others in the television room?
Well, at least let me say goodbye to the old biddy. She's harmless.
Well, all right. I'll be outside. Alvina, I am sorry. I'm really very sorry.
Well, Alvina, what did you expect?
The music played. You didn't dance.
Where have you been? Don't you ever listen to anybody?
In the script, you dance.
Then you'd better rewrite it.
It won't have an ending.
I can't see where it ever had a beginning.
That's what I'm talking about.
once before you go, I'd like you to say one thing that makes sense.
What do you want to hear? Tell me, I'll say it.
What?
Yes, what? I'll say it to you. That I love you. I'll tell you. I love you. Do you want to hear that I'm a dying old woman who's insane? I'm dying. I'm old. I'm insane. Do you want the time? Will that make sense? It's 4:35 in the afternoon. Tell me what you want to hear, Howard. I'll say it to you.
I can't take this.
Do you want me to come to you perfumed and powdered? A sick old dying woman smelling like a flower?
Don't you talk about her.
I'd wear a frilly pink negligee.
Stop it.
And come to your bed. Lie beside you, embrace you, kiss you.
Stop.
Warmer, more tender, more exciting than you've ever known.
Please, no.
We'd make love. I mean love. You'd have all the power in the world, and I'd have all the softness and beauty. We'd give that to each other. We'd give each other the best night, the very best of our lives.
Damn her.
Dance with me. Rise up and dance.
The time was wrong, damn her.
Can you hear my music? The young men died, Howard. Poor George died. All before I could touch them. The right time is now.
Damn you, turn off your music.
It's all in the script.
You're an old woman.
Yes, I'm here. I'm waiting for you.
I'm 84.
Yes, you're here. The time is right.
Damn you.
The final scene is so simple. The music plays. We'll look at each other with soft smiles. You'll walk to me and extend your hand.
Damn you.
Yes, Howard. I take your hand. You take me in your arms and we'll dance.
Damn you.
Yes, Howard. You can do it.
Damn you. Damn you.
Yes. Oh, yes.
In Camera by Robert Pinger. Lorene Tuttle played Elvina, and Leon Ames was Howard. Linda Alper played Nurse Coughlin. Howard Bruner was Dr. Schroeder. Stephen Markle played the soldier, and Randy Smoots was heard as the sailor. It was directed by Gordon Hunts, produced by Howard Gelman, with post-production and mixing by Marv Nunn. In Camera was recorded in Los Angeles by Earplay, the Radio Drama Production Center for Public Broadcasting. Earplay is produced at WHA for National Public Radio under grants from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the National Endowment for the Arts. This is NPR, National Public Radio.